This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Just a few years ago, state geologists reported natural gas deposits in the ground beneath our feet. The only way to release such deposits is through hydraulic fracturing or fracking. Other states like Pennsylvania and New York have legalized fracking in recent years, but they've had to enact regulations retroactively. North Carolina wants to do it a little differently. Last summer, the legislature requested a detailed oil and gas exploration report from the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. This past Monday, Governor Bev Perdue issued an executive order to build a task force for more input. Joining me now is John Moraski. He's a reporter who's been covering the debate over fracking for the News and Observer. Hello, John.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. What are some of the risks that the Diener report found in fracking?
There's a whole range of risks. In fact, this report is 484 pages, and most of that is outlines various kinds of potential risks. One of them is a spill or an accident at the surface level of chemicals. There are hundreds of chemicals that are used in fracking, and we're talking about very high volumes of these chemicals that will be pumped underground. And so you could have a truck that would have an accident run off the road. You could have a spill. You could have a well blowout. You could have well casing that breaks apart. And so these are the kinds of issues that come up. There are also other risks involved to property owners in terms of their legal rights and legal risks that they might enter into by entering into a lease by letting someone drill on their land. That might expose them to all sorts of legal risks unless they hire a lawyer and make sure they have all sorts of provisions and clauses put in to protect them.
So the report concludes that fracking could be safe if it's properly regulated. So there are these risks. We need to figure out what they are in particular and then how we would regulate them, and then it would be safe. That's fair to say, fair to characterize the conclusion of the report that way?
Yeah, the report says that fracking could be done. It can be done safely, but it needs a laws and regulations and agencies to oversee the process. So we don't have any of that right now. Our oil and gas laws go back to the 1940s. Other states that have fracking have modern laws or laws that are certainly more modern than ours. We don't have anything. It's like we're trying to build roads and we have horse buggies and we're trying to build roads for automobiles, and that would involve having creating state troopers and creating a ticketing system and creating, it's starting basically trying to, we're bringing up our laws up to, 60 years, covering a 60-year period.
It's a 60-year period with no experience, really, with the oil and gas industry. And then part of it, as you suggest, is regulating the oil and gas industry. But then, again, these hazardous wastes, which I guess current North Carolina rules wouldn't apply because of protections that the oil and gas industry now enjoys under the Superfund Act, right?
Well, every state essentially is in a position of having to create its own regulatory system because the federal government essentially does not regulate fracking. So the disposal of the waste, handling of the waste, the registration of the waste, the this is just waste, and also the chemicals before they're waste, all of that each state has to handle on their own because there is no federal unified system of doing it.
And there are two bills in the legislature that would legalize fracking. How do they differ?
The way that they're similar is not the question you asked, but one way to get at this is the way that they're similar is that all the proponents of these bills believe it can be done safely and are eager to create a system that would allow North Carolina to be able to govern this practice if it were ever to happen here. One of the bills would set a date certain to begin fracking in mid-2014. And so that is, if we don't have the rules and regulations and agencies in place, the companies could come in and start fracking. Now, the proponent of that bill, Senator Rucho from Mecklenburg County, has said many times that deadline is not written in stone. It could be moved back by a year or two if necessary. But it would have a deadline set in it, and you'd have to move it if you didn't want the fracking to begin before you have the laws in place. The other bill would have no deadline. The other bill, what would do instead is would take all of the recommendations that have come out so far from the state's environmental agency and from the state's attorney general office, and it would take all those recommendations and put them into law so that they are guaranteed and in place. But it would have no date for legalizing fracking. what you would have to do is you have to create a separate piece of legislation to legalize fracking.
I see. And of course, to put all those regulations and then the agencies that would enact and embody those regulations, that would take, has anybody ever ventured an estimate about how long it would take to put that enforcement mechanism in place?
Well, right now, the DENR, the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, has spent something like 8 or 9 months preparing a report that's 484 pages long. And I would say 95% of that report says it simply points to other studies and other reports that need to be done. This New York State has been at it for, they have a moratorium on fracking, or in effect what is a moratorium. And they've been at it for 3 years. And they have a report. Their study is now 1,537 pages at last count, and they're getting closer to the end. So I think it's going to take 3 or 4 years at least to get something like this done.
What can we learn from the experiences in Pennsylvania? That's the place that went at it right away, then went back and tried to regulate after the horror stories appeared in the papers and on the television.
Yeah, the experiences there are that if you don't have the right laws and regulations in place, you're going to have things are going to go wrong, and they're going to go wrong quickly, and they're going to get a lot of publicity, and there's going to be a backlash against natural gas exploration. So they've had some serious problems, and also a lot of allegations that remain unproven, but there's a high number of allegations, also lawsuits, privately settled lawsuits between property owners and energy exploration companies. But mainly what they've had is blowouts, spills. They had one blowout where it was like a geyser 70 feet high for more than a day. Right. So this, some serious problems.
Well, and an important thing to point out is that when the people who describe fracking will tell you that the toxic chemicals that are used, it's mostly water, and then there are some chemicals, and they're used in very small percentages in the actual fracking process. But, of course, you have to truck them in by the ton to have them available. And so it's the waste after the fact that accumulates and the truckloads before the fact that again, the state would have to figure out how to regulate and control.
Some of these chemicals are used in household cleaning agents and sprays that you get from the store. They may be used in, you can get some of these chemicals in at a hardware store. But we're not talking about a pint of them. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of gallons. And they are in small concentrations. They're, less than 2% of the fracking fluid. But the fracking fluid per well could be 3 million gallons of water to 5 million gallons of water. So it does add up, and they could become dangerous. So we have a particular situation in North Carolina where, in the Marcellus Shale, for example, the distance between the groundwater resources and the well is usually about 10,000 feet, and that's close to 2 miles. In North Carolina, we have wells that go below 1,000 feet, and that's when they touch water. And we don't know how deep the water goes, but there's water below 1,000 feet. And the shale gas is above 3,000 feet in some places. So we know that the distance could be less than 2,000 feet. And so what we're dealing with there is a much shorter distance between the water and the gas. And so if you put the fracking fluids in there and they stay down there, most of the fracking fluids would stay down there, there's a shorter distance. And the other issue we have in North Carolina is that we had situations where basically, we had volcanic eruptions underground. They sent magma, molten magma that was boiling at 1,200 degrees. It was under pressure, so it shot up, and it sent what are called diabase dikes. And these are essentially gigantic slabs. And there are many of these slabs, and they penetrate the rock that would normally create an impermeable barrier between the groundwater and the shale gas underneath. And so if you were to frack that rock accidentally or that slab, or you would shake it, you could create a fissure between the water and the gas, and the chemicals could seep up over time. So that's another risk that would have to be accounted for. You'd need a scientific study to determine exactly where the slabs are and what would be a safe distance to drill away from that slab.
And now we're hearing that at least one developer is retaining the mineral rights for the homes they sell.
There is a developer who bought up land, and then when they sold the homes, they parceled out the created parcels and tracts, and they sold the homes. They retained the mineral rights, and the mineral rights are essentially gas drilling rights. and they transferred those rights to an energy subsidiary. And the question was whether it was properly disclosed, whether the property owners knew in time, or whether these people were finding out whether when they were coming in to sign the closing documents, at which point they would have had no other place to live, potentially.
Yeah.
So that was basically looked into by the Attorney General's Office and the State Real Estate Commission, and the company, D.R. Horton, which is the nation's largest home builder, agreed to return the mineral rights to all these people. Now, it should be noted they took the mineral rights without paying. They simply, in most cases, when you if a property owner has mineral rights, they usually sell them or they lease them for a fee. In this case, they gave them up without any fee, and most people I talked to, they didn't know about it, or they claimed they didn't know about it. So the home builder agreed to give those back. That's, I guess, an implicit admission that probably they didn't follow. They probably shouldn't have followed that policy.
All right. I've got about 10 seconds left, John, but give me a sense of what the timeline is for Bev Perdue's task force.
I would say months, if not years.
Yeah.
If Diener took 8 or 9 months to create a report, I assume the other agencies that would start on it would also take as much time.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably several years for all these, at least a year for all these agencies to come up with their own plans on how to deal with all the implications that fracking would, how it would affect them. I think largely, though, you would look to other states. Other states have already gone through this exercise, and so you're not starting from scratch. You go to other states and see what they do, and you pick the best examples.
But as you say, there are some unique circumstances here in North Carolina.
The main thing is to make sure that we account for unique circumstances in our state.
All right, John, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
John Murawski is a reporter who's been covering the fracking debate for the News and Observer. Just ahead, a new book for children that documents a creative way to combat hate and the Ku Klux Klan. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.